Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to The Bosses. That's where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for the day, The Big Boss, and I'm here with my man, The Professor.
What's good? What's happening, everybody?
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. New mic, new week. See how things go here.
Hey, bless up.
So, got some complaints after the last one.
I know, right?
Things didn't sound so good, so I spent a little money, got something nice. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah. So shout out to The Boss Fam for keeping us honest and updating our technology. So.
Yep. For real.
Yeah. So let's get into it. We got a couple news items for this week, November 13th, 2017. Got a couple items I'm going to run down, and, you know, we'll talk about them and, you know, get right into it.
Sounds good to me. Let's hit it.
All right. So first up, we got news about the Universal's Dark Universe. It loses like their big producers, Alex Kurtzman and Chris Morgan. And basically we're hearing reports like, you know, the lots and the offices are empty. So it's like, this is dead. So that's what it's sounding like. It's like, it's over.
I mean, it hasn't been looking too good for the last couple of months to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about how it's not going to happen, or they don't really know where they're going, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I'd say if the offices are empty, that's a pretty good sign that this is dead and buried at this point.
Yeah, man.
So they're not going to say anything yet.
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully we'll get an official later, but I don't see it. I don't see it happening. Like, I don't know. I mean, I thought Mummy was good at certain points, and I'm a fan of Tom Cruise. Like, I'll go watch anything. The man is crazy, but I'll watch anything he's in because he's just dedicated.
I mean, I was a fan of Dracula Untold. I kind of went in with no expectations because I really didn't know much about it. It was kind of a fun movie. You know, I saw The Mummy. I didn't think it was that bad. Didn't think it was, you know, a great movie, but it wasn't bad at all. It was watchable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they had some kind of foundation going. I mean, they had good cast in the movies. They had good people doing their thing. But, you know, I guess it just didn't turn out as well as they were hoping. Didn't get that same kind of popularity they were really hoping for.
Yeah, man. It's just like... They really started flip-flopping with Dracula Untold. Because, like, at first it was supposed to be its own thing, and they were doing another Dracula. And then they said, oh, okay, let's include Dracula Untold into this dark universe. So they plugged that stinger, if you guys remember. They plugged that stinger, and it set up this world like there's something big going on. And then basically you get The Mummy, which sets... you know, it's been a couple weeks since it's been out, so I'm not holding back anything. It's like, if you see Russell Crowe is pretty much the quote-unquote Nick Fury of the Dark Universe, you know what I'm saying? So teams are getting assembled, people are getting brought in, and it's like the story seems like it's getting more fleshed out, and now we're hearing that it's bailing. Like, we still had the Invisible Man, Bride of Frankenstein, the Wolfman. I believe Frankenstein's monster. So I don't know. It's just like, now it's all falling apart. Now I'm just like, all right. Because if you guys don't have any confidence, and I mean, this, they were supposed to be like tying this to a series of rides that were supposed to open in Universal, because they just recently updated the Mummy ride to coincide with the new movie. So.
You know, I think they put all their eggs in one basket before they're ready for it by the sound of things. And didn't quite go as well as they were hoping. And now here we are, you know, now you've got to scramble to kind of kick all this stuff back. I mean, the rides and stuff may still continue because it's still Universal. So it's still something they can get people to come to. But it sounds like the whole idea of a franchise just, you know, up and died. I think they were counting on more pull from a Tom Cruise Mummy movie than they got.
Yeah.
And I'm quite sure it was probably pretty expensive considering the people who were in that. I mean, just Cruise and Russell Crowe alone. Not that Russell Crowe's going to get the same kind of money Tom Cruise is, but he's not going to come cheap either, you know, when it comes right down. So, you know, I think they put their bank on it. And, you know, I think like something we keep tossing around talking about, you know, the critics on sites like Rotten Tomatoes and whatnot got to see the movie beforehand and, you know, crushed it before it even had a chance to come out in the theater.
Right.
And
that, right.
You know, it came a victim of another one of those situations where people, rather than just going to see it anyway, decided they would go with what the critics said and you know, and it trashed. What I remember, it didn't do well at all.
No, they ripped Mummy in half. Yeah, so it's like, yeah, it didn't really even make it off of the ground. What they were trying to do, it kind of sucks because I could tell what they were trying to do, like make it action focused. But I mean, these are horror entities that they're dealing with, so. You know, for me, it's just if they drop Kurtzman and Morgan, maybe it's time to bring somebody in that knows what they're doing as far as horror is concerned. Maybe it's time to bring Jason Blum into this, because, I mean, he's been doing some great things as far as producing some horror over the past couple years. He's got Paranormal Activity. He's got the Purge, Insidious, Get Out. I mean, this guy's a split. I mean, The Visit, like he's really been bringing out some heavy hitters as far as producing horror hits. So maybe this will be a time for Universal to take stock and say, you know what? Maybe we need to just go back to basics and tell these horror movies the way that they're supposed to be told, you know?
And that could very well be the plan. They're just going to, you know, attempt to quietly just kind of start from the beginning and do it all over again.
Yeah.
Now, they might not necessarily redo The Mummy or Dracula, but they might just go, all right, we're going to scrap this crew. We're going to go another crew and we'll keep moving. But it's just going to take a little bit longer because we got to put this whole crew together. So,
yeah,
that could be the plan. I mean, well, we probably never know. I haven't seen anything too much about it since. But
yeah,
this is definitely not a good sign.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. Further heavy hits. We're going to move over into the DC world. Well, not so much a heavy hit, just more of people not knowing, you know, how to take news. So Ben Affleck is, you know, been interviewed. And at first, you know, people were saying that he wasn't sure about his future with Batman. But basically, he was quoted saying, you know, he's considering a cool way to seg out of the Batman universe. And
yeah.
A lot of people are running with this and saying like, oh, you know, he's not trying to be Batman. He's already calculating. He's always looking for the exits. But it doesn't really sound like it. It's like, you know, with any of these comic book characters, you can't expect them to play this character forever. Like, as much as we love Robert Downey Jr. and as much as we love Chris Evans, they're not going to be playing Iron Man and Captain America respectively forever. You know what I'm saying?
No, of course not.
So, you know, Ben Affleck's kind of looking in the same direction and trying to make sure that his character leaves with a sort of epicness that makes him legendary within the universe. And that's understandable. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah. and that's the crazy thing. It's like we're dealing with an older Bruce Wayne. I mean, how long do you expect this man to be donning the cowl? You know?
Exactly. I mean, basically what the man is saying is I'm looking for a cool way to make my exit in the franchise. He's not saying, you know what, I'm done, I'm leaving now. He's saying what everybody would say when they get into a long franchise like that. Eventually, Evans is going to say the same thing, and Downey's going to say the same thing. They're all going to want some kind of way to make a graceful exit from a franchise they've been a part of forever.
Right, right.
And the one thing you hear, one of the things you hear from all kinds of actors all over the place is, I don't want to continue to be pigeonholed into the same character for the rest of my career.
Right.
Now, for stuff like this, you know, once you've done, like with Evans and Downey Jr., once you've done the amount of movies they've done, that gets really hard.
Right.
You know, Downey Jr. is going to be Tony Stark for the rest of his life. Chris Evans is going to be Steve Rogers for the rest of his life. That's just how it's going to be.
Right, right.
You know, and I'm sure they don't knock that. They've made plenty of money off this stuff. And they've, you know, I'm sure by the sounds of things, enjoyed what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the same time, nobody wants to do the same thing forever. That's just why things end, why shows end, why characters change and whatnot.
Yeah.
I think Affleck is just saying, look, I've seen what other people have done. I've seen what's happened. I've seen people who stuck around for way too long, you know, for things that they should have kind of maybe bailed out on early. And I don't want to be that. I want to find a cool way for me to transfer this over to somebody else so that I can move on and do whatever it is I want to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think because all the talk with him over the last year or so about, you know, oh, he wants out. He doesn't want to do the other Batman movie now. He knows how terrible all the DC stuff is and blah, 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 blah. Anything he says at this point is going to get knee-jerk reactions just like this.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be, oh, you know, he could go, oh, I got a cold. Oh, he's trying to say he's sick so he doesn't have to be in Batman anymore. not what he's saying. He's saying he doesn't feel well. That's pretty much all he's saying.
Right.
You know, so none of this stuff surprises me that the extreme that it's taken to, or the, you know, him saying that, none of that surprises me. I just think some of these people just need to relax and try to stop pretending they know exactly what he's saying when they have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you know, just chill out, watch, you know, we got Justice League coming out this weekend. It's just like, you know, enjoy it and see where it goes. Yeah. 'Cause I just don't see, you know, them doing a movie this big and it coming out that it needs to be, you know, something that it needs to be something where, oh, we need to look for Ben Affleck to be taking his exit. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just a lot. So, you know,
yeah,
just relax.
Well, and when it comes down to it, there are just some people who want him to go because they don't like him, which is a shame because he's probably one of, if not the best Batman that we've seen.
Yeah.
So far, in my opinion, anyway.
Oh, yeah. Because when it boils down to it, it's like it goes to how an actor balances two faces of a character. So it's like, right, if you Bruce Wayne, Batman, a lot of these actors that we've seen in this role either do well in one and not well in the other. We got Ben Affleck doing decent on both of them.
I would agree with that. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's just, I don't see WB bailing on that goal that they have right now. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I could potentially see him maybe one make his way out, but as long as he wants to do it, DC and WB are going to let him keep going. So it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Just think all of a sudden he's going to decide again that he wants to leave. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
They need to relax.
Yeah, yeah. So continuing in the DC world, we got Jason Momoa in a recent interview revealing that Justice League has a stinger, but we're also getting reports, there are other articles that are detailing that there's not just one, but two stingers, and giving details of these stingers. So be careful out there if you don't want to be spoiled before the movie, but at least you know to expect there will be two stingers in the DC universe.
Yep. There are apparently videos, I guess, from overseas screenings that came out that detail both credits. Of course, I read them both just because I don't really feel like waiting.
Right.
I tried to watch the videos. They were gone by the time I got there. But there are two stingers, and they sound like at least one is kind of an iconic comic moment. I'll leave it at that without saying much. Ooh. More beyond that. But there is one situation that the description is kind of a double spoiler. It tells you something that happens in the movie that I think we all know happens, but you know, I won't say it. And it explains what absolutely is kind of an iconic thing and a kind of question that runs through the DC universe, has always run through the DC universe. So definitely stick around for the whole thing if you're going to see it this weekend like we are.
Yeah, man. So mid credits and after credits. So just stay for the whole thing, man.
So it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah. So next up, we got some Suicide Squad 2 news. Basically, what we're hearing is that what's being rumored is that The Rock's Black Adam will be the big bad of Suicide Squad 2.
So stupid.
Yeah. So, you know.
Go ahead.
I'm going to hold to the fact that I believe that this is rumor and conjecture. I don't really see this as something that's happening. It's just like that would be a poor move on DC's part as far as where they're trying to take that story. And it's just like, I think it would be a disgrace to the Black Adam character to have him taken down by basically human characters. Like, I get that these guys are skilled, but like, let's not demean this guy. Like, I think he would be much better served being the big bad of a Man of Steel 2 than to be being a big bad of Suicide Squad.
So here's the two things about it that make zero sense to me.
Right.
But it's DC, so nothing DC does makes a whole lot of sense to me. The first thing is, this will now be the second Suicide Squad movie, if I could say it, where the big bad is this godlike creature who will somehow be stopped by these complete and total humans. Black Adam, from what I remember, and if I'm remembering wrong, somebody hopefully will correct me, but I'm pretty sure, is a Superman-level strength character.
Oh, yeah.
You can't stop Black Adam with bullets. You can't stop Black Adam with fire. You can't stop Black Adam with boomerangs. It's not going to happen.
You can barely stop him with magic. So
exactly. But yet somehow they're going to do that in this movie because we all know how it's going to end. He's not going to kill the Suicide Squad. They're going to somehow defeat him to end the movie. It's just what's going to happen. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
All of the villains in the DC archive that they could bring out who are heavy hitters, but yet they're human in some way, shape, or form that you could have them go after.
Yep.
To do it this way doesn't make sense to me. The other part of it that makes absolutely no sense to me is you make this announcement and you follow it up by saying, oh, by the way, we've cast Shazam.
Yeah.
Who is Shazam's, from what I remember, again, Shazam's most common enemy?
Oh, yeah.
Black Adam.
Yep.
So why wouldn't you have him premiere in the Shazam movie?
Right.
That just doesn't make any sense. Like, you've got a character who is the arch nemesis of a character who you just announced his movie is coming. You just cast the character. You've now been sitting on the rock for, what, 2 or 3 years now, probably because you don't want Marvel to get their hands on him. And now you're going to throw him in a Suicide Squad movie instead of putting the movie where he probably should be, like Shazam, or even Superman if you're going to do a Man of Steel 2.
Right.
But the most sense to me is Shazam. That's where he belongs. It's this franchise he's been a part of.
Right.
But, you know, now let's throw him in Suicide Squad where he makes absolutely no sense because the character Black Adam basically just ripped the heads off of all the Suicide Squad and move about his day. And whatever. What do I know?
Yeah. So I'm reading these articles, and basically the quote that I'm getting here is like, Dwayne Johnson in the interview teased the villain's debut, telling Fandango, we have a really cool surprise for Black Adam that I can't reveal in terms of where we'll see Black Adam being introduced. So it's like, I mean, it's cryptic. It's not like you can really pull anything from that, which is why I kind of lean on the fact that this is rumor and conjecture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I think it's true. I think what they're doing is they're making a link. They're making a link between whoever's writing the Black Adam standalone movie and the fact that he's going to be writing possibly for Suicide Squad 2. They're thinking that, oh, maybe this is them saying that, oh, he's going to be introduced in Suicide Squad 2. But I don't know. That's a bit of a stretch for me. You know what I'm saying? Until DCWB actually comes out and says, you know, Black Adam's going to debut in Suicide Squad 2, I just don't think I can hold this at all, like, and believe that this is going to happen.
I mean, that's fair. You know, until it's actually an official thing, we don't know for sure. But the rumor's been a lot of places that I've seen, and it seems to be a pretty strong one. So if that's indeed the way they're going, to me, that it just seems silly. They have so many better options they could put him in.
Definitely.
That would make more sense. But that's why they make the movies and we don't, I guess.
Yeah. So moving forward with some DC news, but we're moving into like more of a scandal type section. So we got a report that Gal Gadot, is saying that she won't sign for Wonder Woman 2 as long as DCWB is doing business with Brett Ratner, who has been previously outed to be one of the many big names in Hollywood that are attached to sexual harassment suits and confessions by their victims. So, you know, this news is not really surprising to me. It's been happening. It's been happening. And I don't know. I feel like the industry is becoming better for it. Like, a lot of people are taking a stance and saying, hey, you know what? Enough is enough. You know what I'm saying? I know we were talking about it earlier, Professor, and you were saying, you know, this kind of sucks for all the people that are employed under that production company. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, moving forward for them.
I think that's the only that's the one unfortunate part of all of it that never really gets looked at is
right.
Ratner's just a part of this production company. It's not him strictly. You know, there's tons of employees. So you know, Wonder Woman 2 is going to be a blockbuster movie when it comes out. No matter, just the name alone, because the first one is going to get you a lot of money. So the people at that company would have done very well because they're going to be part of it. But now she's refusing to do anything that's related to Ratner in any way, shape, or form. So now all of those people who are part of that company who really had nothing to do with what the man has done are going to suffer because of that.
Right, right.
It's a hard balance to go through. I fully understand what she's saying, and I don't disagree that I wouldn't want to be a part of anything with the guy either if the accusations are true, which, you know, I haven't read too much of his. I would, you know, I don't want to assume anything one way or the other, but if the accusations are true, I don't blame anybody for not wanting to be part of the guy. It's, why would you want to be part of somebody who's going to do that? Yeah. But the unfortunate part is all of those people who had nothing to do with it are going to pay the price as well as he is. So.
Yeah, yeah. And it just kind of sucks because I know we were talking about it earlier, and it's just like, you know, it's, you know, Gal's taking the stance and saying that, you know, she doesn't want anything to, she's not going to sign to Wonder Woman 2 unless Brett Ratner is out. And the what sucks about this is that, you know, a lot of these accusations are coming out, and, you know, I'm the type of person where I have to take face value the things that you're saying until we find out otherwise. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to say, hey, you say this happened. I got to go with you until we get more information. So I'm going with these people that are coming out and saying these things about Brett Ratner. And my whole stance on it is like, you know, I feel bad for the people that are employed under Brett Ratner, but it's like at the end of the day, it's like, hey, man, you're making these choices. You should be thinking about your employees. You know what I'm saying? What this would mean to them, your name. I mean, like his production company is called Rat Pack. So his name is on this production company. So yeah. It's like you're out there and you're doing this image, you're victimizing people, and you're not considering the people that are working for you. And it's like, what are they supposed to do? What are they supposed to do?
Well, I think that part doesn't surprise me as much, because anybody who's going to do this kind of thing isn't thinking about anybody else. They're just thinking about themselves, and they're thinking they're never going to get caught.
Yeah.
I mean, look how long it's been since Weinstein has actually been caught. It's been, what, 20-some plus years?
He's been in the game for a while. It's finally come to light now. Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough sometimes, this stuff, because it doesn't, they assume it's never going to get out because it just doesn't, you know. And then there's people who get away with it, you know, like the one name that constantly pops up that people are shocked about is, well, not shocked about, but I get shocked about how he's basically getting away with everything, is Roman Polanski.
Right.
Well, here's a guy who more or less everybody has forgiven, and his stuff is just as bad, if not worse, than some of these people that are coming out now.
Yeah.
So it's weird. And as you know, as far as, like you were saying, having to believe everybody, I tend to be more skeptical only because I know there's too many people out there who are going to see situations like this, who are going to go, hey, this is my opportunity to get back at somebody who screwed me over. You know what? He harassed me, and it may never have happened. It's so difficult to prove this stuff. It's you know, the saying has always been, isn't to proven guilty. When stuff happens and 6, 7, 8 people come out and say, yeah, this happened, all right, it's kind of hard to say all of them are lying at that point. You know what I mean? When it's one person who comes out and says, hey, this guy did this and I have proof. Well, where's your proof? Well, I can't show you. You know, like the guy who said Charlie Sheen molested the kid on the scene of the movie, on the set of Lucas. You know, a week later, it turns out that people are now saying that the guy who said it was Charlie Sheen is the one who molested the kid on the set of Lucas.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so that kind of stuff happens, and you kind of go, this is really, it's tough. Like, look, let's call it what it is. You look at somebody like Bill Cosby, you'd never believe it was true. But when you get to 50-some people who say it did,
like, the numbers start piling up, and it's like, man, now I'm not sure if I can look at you the same way. You know what I'm saying?
Are all 50 of them telling the truth? Who knows? I would have to imagine, and I'm only saying this because it just, you'd have to think the numbers game. You have to think that some of them are probably not telling the truth.
Yeah.
The majority of them probably are. You don't get to 50 people without there being some truth to what's being said.
Yeah.
So, you know, but then you get these ones that are one-offs and two-offs and, you know, people saying things like that. That's why the whole Louis C.K. thing is interesting to me, because it's a shame that he did what he did. I don't know. Do you familiar with Louis C.K., the comedian?
Yeah, I'm familiar. Yeah, and I heard a little bit of that one, a little bit of that report, but not everything. So
the basic premise of the report for him is that he's had a history of exposing himself and pleasuring himself in front of women who didn't necessarily want that to happen.
Oh, wow.
Now, only been like five women who have said it. The difference with Louis, to what I've seen so far, and not that he's right to have done this, I'm not defending him in any way, shape, or form, but he came out and said, yeah, it's all true. I did do this. I shouldn't have done it. His apology wasn't the greatest. But I give him a little bit of credit for having the balls to come out and say, yeah, this is true. I did this and I shouldn't have. Because none of these other people do that. They all come out and go, no, this is all fake. This is
yeah, I didn't do that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so instead of others.
Yeah, he actually came out and said, yes, I did it. Yes, I was wrong. And I will do whatever I can to make amends for it. Which, look, nobody's ever going to forgive the guy for doing it. Although, in the grand scheme of things, what he did is probably a little less damaging than what some of the other guys have done.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily mentally, but physically, definitely less damaging.
Right.
Again, not defending him, just saying if you're comparing the two. But, you know, you don't see that with anybody else. They all just want to say they didn't do it. So it gets hard to determine who's telling the truth and who's not, I guess is kind of what I'm getting down to. So it's always been innocent until proven guilty, until stuff like this happens. So it's tough.
Yeah.
For me to kind of decide. I can't really decide what side of the fence I'm on with a lot of these. I tend to agree with you. I tend to believe that a lot of them happen, especially when it hits 5, 6, 7, 8 people.
Right. Yeah.
But when it's one person who you've never heard of, who's, you know, all of a sudden complaining about something that happened 25 years ago that there's really no way to prove, it's kind of hard to necessarily completely to believe that person hands down. So
yeah,
but you never know.
Yeah.
You never know what. So kind of got off course a little bit there, but that was just kind of.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, it keeps us on course because basically in the next report that we got going on is just like Kevin Spacey still, you know, going through, he's still dealing with everything that he's dealing with when he, you know, basically it not so much admitted, but it was just like, I don't know. I thought it was real sloppy the way that everything kind of unfolded with Kevin Spacey's issue. Because basically him saying like, oh, yeah, I may have done it, but, you know, I was so drunk, I didn't remember. So, you know.
Oh, by the way, I'm gay.
Yeah. And yeah, it was just like he was everywhere. And there's just like, ah, man, like you're kind of killing like your image right now, because now you just look like a dick. Like that's really what it is. It's just like,
yep,
you look like you just didn't care. You don't feel remorseful at all. And then you were using this as a stepping stone to come out. Like, it's like, dang, dude, like really? Like this, it's obviously people out there that feel like you've wronged them and they feel like you've done them wrong. So it's like, I don't know. I just felt like he could have came at it with a little bit more tact, and now he's, you know, out, quote unquote, like what Harvey Weinstein is doing is seeking, you know, rehabilitation. But it's like, yo, you really didn't think it was a problem until this moment. So now he's like, he has this movie that's supposed to be coming out called All the Money in the World. And basically what they did is removed him completely from the movie, removed him from the ads, and they're doing reshoots now. So they're replacing Kevin Spacey with Christopher Plummer. Now he's going to be doing Kevin Spacey's role within this movie. Now, Spacey was working on this film for like 2 weeks. He was a supporting actor in the movie, so he's not like removing his scenes is not really going to be too noticeable or damaging to the film. It's not like they have to do a lot of reshoots, but it costs like $2 million to do these reshoots. So, I mean, like they want this movie to come out. They want this movie to come out, and they want it to be away from that Spacey image. So, you know, they're replacing him with Plummer. So I can't really fault them for doing this. They want something to come out. They believe in their work, and they just don't want Kevin Spacey to be anywhere near it. So that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's worth it to them to spend the money, you know, to make sure his name's not a part of it anymore. So
right.
Makes sense. You know, I mean, I can't. And Netflix dropped him like a bad habit as fast as they could. So,
yeah. And I think from what I hear is like they were already on their way to canceling that show. But I think this was just like the last nail in the coffin.
Well, initially, when the first report came out, what I heard was they were trying to find a way to end the show, you know, maybe after one more season or something like that. Maybe if they find a way to get his character off the show. And then I think a couple more reports came out and they went, nope, never mind, we're done. Just cut it. I think the last thing I did read is they might just try to find a way to get rid of his character and then close the season without him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that either. But
yeah, yeah.
It's interesting because that was another one of those that I was kind of hemming and hawing about. And then I, you know, you read his apology and you're like, all right, well, maybe there's definitely something to this.
Yeah.
Then I think it was last week, John Bernthal, of all people, was on the Jim and Sam show on Sirius Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, because he worked with Spacey on Baby Driver. And Bernthal said, I actually was really disappointed. He said he's one of my favorite actors of all time. I had seen him on a play in Broadway in London, or not in Broadway, on a play in London that I loved. It was fantastic. And then I met him on the set of Baby Driver, and he was actually kind of a bully. Like, I really didn't like the guy. I was extremely let down by his behavior and the way he treated people on the set. He said, you know, I had nothing but love for that guy before I met him in person. You know, and now I can't stand him. So,
sheesh.
When you hear the true stories, and Bernthal seems like the kind of guy who's going to tell you the truth about whatever you ask him.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of start to learn the truth about some of these people. So maybe there was something. It sounds like there really is something to all of it when it comes right down to it.
Yeah, that's rough.
At least as far as Spacey is concerned.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Jeez, that's crazy. But it's like, you know, we've been hearing this news as now it's becoming commonplace. Like, I just heard news about, what's his name? Andrew Kreisberg. He's one of the, one of the big producers in the Arrowverse. Yeah. And it's like, God, dog, like, what's going on?
It's a little scary how much this is starting to come out now. Now there's all these other reports popping out about, what's his name? Tom Sizemore, which this wouldn't surprise me, but they said Tom Sizemore may have molested an 11-year-old on the set of a movie.
Oh, wow.
You know, there was some report about George Takei that was from like 87. Now that person's coming forward saying he was inappropriate with them.
Wow.
It's like that. That's the kind of one that I don't want to say I don't believe it, but it's harder to believe.
Yeah.
You know, when it was 1987, you've never said anything to anybody. Now you see all these other people coming forward and either making money or making the accusations, try to ruin somebody's career. Now you're going to come forward and say something. I get it. It's one of those things that's hard for people to talk about, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. 30 years he waited to say something just seems... something about it to me feels off, and I don't want to say it didn't happen, but it's just harder for me to believe when it's, you know, that kind of time between something like that.
Yeah, only reason I argue to the opposition is because I'm like, you know a lot of these people are just now they're seeing people coming out. Okay, you have the strength and you're doing this. All right, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can say what I need to say and just get it off my chest and leave it behind me. You know what I'm saying? Because like I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. I know that a lot of times people just try to manipulate and, you know, take advantage of a situation. But a lot of times it's just they're looking for somebody else to kind of confirm what they were saying and give them enough strength to say something. You know what I'm saying?
So, that's fair.
Yeah, that's you know. Fair. So it's like I try to look at it like that. It's just like, yo, man, it really is. It's like it's hurting, like, especially with George Takei. Like, you know, you feel like he's been like a proponent for at least, you know, for LGBT rights. You know what I'm saying? Like he's been very vocal. You know what I'm saying? But to hear somebody like this could possibly be a part of this type of scandal that's going on, it's just like, yo, man, it's what is going on?
You know what it is for me? It's going back to Cosby real quick with Janice Dickinson. You know Janice Dickinson, the actress?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all these other women come out. Now all of a sudden she pops out saying, oh, he did the same thing to me. And she goes on this news interview and they start talking to her. And the first thing she says is, I can't breathe. Which was the cry from the guy who was, I guess he was killed in New York by the cops. He was selling the loose cigarettes.
Oh, the Eric Garner.
And they choked him and he ended up dying.
Wow.
Rally cries from all the rallies about him was, I can't breathe. So here is this white woman who is clearly out of her mind. And the first thing she says when talking about Bill Cosby is, "I can't breathe," which has absolutely nothing to do with what she was talking about.
Yeah.
Like, you see that and you go, you're insane. It's like, I don't know if it happened to you, but you make it really, really hard to believe.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're very clearly using a phrase to try to garner some assistance from a group that has nothing to do with your situation. It's nothing to do with it. That phrasing was about police brutality. Had nothing to do. So that, for me, I see stuff like that, and it makes it really hard for me to believe some people.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
I guess it's fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. That's rough. Yeesh. Yeah.
So, yeah, that one was, that actually made me laugh when I heard her say that.
Oh,
let's move on to some happier
news. Yeah, let's move on to some happier news. We're going over to the, all right, folks, let me preface this because I don't want you guys to get any idea.
Let me jump in here real quick before, because I realized there's one piece of news that came out today that we didn't add, and I don't want to put it before the one that we're looking at currently because it's too much fun.
Okay, okay.
But there's a Sony is now talking about another Spider-Man spinoff, trying to make a Morbius movie.
I heard about that. Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't understand. I got into it with our buddy Travellini today.
Yeah.
He thought... He seems to think that a Morbius movie would be more popular than a Venom movie. And I tried to say Venom is 100 times more of a draw than Morbius would be in the theaters. And he happens to think I'm wrong. I happen to think he's insane because there's no way a Morbius movie would draw more people than a Venom movie.
Oh, man.
And I'm sure if he listens, he's going to give me a hard time for bringing it up here, but I don't care.
I'm a play Travellini the advocate after this.
Look, people have been clamoring for a Venom movie for years after the abomination that we got at the end of Spider-Man 3. People like the Venom character. It had its own series of titles. It's a popular character. Morbius is essentially a second-tier Spider-Man villain that not many people know much about.
Right.
The biggest draw it's going to bring you as a movie is the fact that it's a vampire movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to outdo a Venom movie. It's just not. I don't care what anybody tells me. It's just not going to happen. Just the Venom character is much too popular for Morbius to have a better chance in the movies than Venom does.
All right. So here's why I'm arguing that Morbius might actually perform better than Venom. Okay, so you got Venom. He has a very solid fan base.
Yeah.
But if you want to talk about general audiences, like just getting butts in seats, Morbius might be a good play. You know what I'm saying? Because Morbius, I feel like, is so far away from Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? That you won't spend time questioning why haven't we seen Spider-Man yet? Or, you know, he should be in here, or where does this fall into the Marvel Universe type thing? You know what I'm saying? Morbius provides that allure. Cause I mean, he's a very tragic character, the way that he plays off.
Sure.
He's a very tragic character. And I see that being a big draw for like a lot of the fans of the vampire mythos. You got Underworld, Twilight. You got Dracula Untold. You know what I'm saying? Like, but like all of that, like all those fans of that vampire universe would love to see how this fits within the realm of the Marvel universe. But like, just see a character that kind of stands alone and can tell his own story. I mean, we could probably see some, you know, insertion of Blade wherever. I don't know how Sony is doing their relationship with Marvel, but
I was gonna say, we kind of talked about that because Blade now belongs to Marvel. I don't know if they'd be able to do that without bringing Marvel in.
Yeah.
Because it's a Sony, it's listed as a Sony movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Morbius, that is. It's listed as a Sony movie.
Right.
So I would argue that just because I think it's a character that people, I mean, yeah, I can't argue against the fact that people who like vampire movies are going to want to go see it. I think, depending on how you spin it. It is, after all, still a comic book character. So it's going to have that Marvel tag in front of it. It's going to have the comic booky story to it. I just think there are so many people who want the Venom movie who are comic fans. You know, I just think it's going to do better. I think it'll do better. That's, you know, Could I be wrong? Sure. I've been wrong plenty of times. I just don't see the big draw for a Morbius movie. I just don't get it.
Yeah. And if there's anything I could argue for the Venom movie, it's like, look at it like this. It's like, we got Venom, but this is a Tom Hardy film. Like, if Tom Hardy's still attached to this, like, he has a solid fan base. Like, Tom Hardy.
He's not only attached to it, he's filming it right now.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I mean, that's my only thing. It's like, what Venom has going for it is that it's Tom Hardy. So, you got an actor that's going to be willing to explore the depths of Eddie Brock the way that we'd want to see him in a movie type environment. So, I don't know. I mean, Venom's happening, so that's not even up for debate. Venom's happening.
Yeah. We don't know
Morbius. Morbius is still up in the air, so yeah.
So we'll see. Time will tell, I suppose.
We'll see. But we got some news in the form of Deadpool 2 posters coming out. I'm really loving these, and we'll put these on the website so you guys can see them on the blog. Link to the podcast, but I'm really loving these. I know that this first one is based off of a real piece of art. I can't remember what the name of it is called.
Yeah, I don't know either off the top of my head.
Yeah, but it's like, it's Deadpool and it's Cable, and they're coming to the table with all their co-stars and friends, and they're serving up the turkey for Thanksgiving and divvying it out. And then basically at the bottom of it, it just says 2018.
And there's two characters there that are new. I don't recognize those two in the upper left there.
Two in the upper left?
The woman and the man that are right in front of Cable? I don't know those two.
That's Monica Baccarin, ain't it?
Oh, okay. That is her. You're right.
Yeah,
that is her.
Yeah. She just looks a little... And then that's...
Oh, it's Dopinder.
Yeah, that's Dopinder. Okay. So it's all... The whole crew is back. And we got, you know, Domino and Cable coming back to grace us and add to the cast. But like, yeah, so it's all familiar faces, some new faces, and you got a picture of Stan Lee up in the corner.
I was just gonna say the picture on the wall. That's awesome.
The king of cameos.
Hilarious. Oh, hilarious.
Man. So I love
and the
it,
second man. One.
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't read the second one until just now. Those tags on the second one, let's take a look, are unbelievable. I don't know if this is if good housekeeping is smart in any way, shape, or form, they'll actually do this as a magazine.
I really hope Deadpool kept stuff. This.
It's Deadpool. So it's a good housekeeping magazine. It's a green background with Deadpool on the front, holding a turkey, wearing a Christmas apron and Santa oven mitts. It says good housekeeping. The very top says Deadpool stuffs are a holiday issue. And the tags are come for the gifts, stay for the package. Is the season to put the fun back in dysfunctional. Turkey tips, giving your family the bird. How to be a supper hero. And you'll go crazy for D's nuts. D's supposed to be Deadpool, just D'S. Hysterical.
Yo, I love
just
it.
Just genius. You know, and it screams Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah,
all really of the does. Stuff on this tag screams Ryan Reynolds. So I'm sure that's where it came from. But
yeah.
These are hysterical. So, yeah, we definitely got to get these up on the site so people can see these.
Yeah, yeah, because I think there might be a couple other good housekeeping ones. So if I find those, I'll put those up as well.
Okay.
But yeah. This is, I mean, again, Deadpool is really killing it with their media circuit. They don't have to do much, but what they do makes an impact, and it's just like, yo, I'm really excited for this film.
I can't say I'm not. This is one I'm going to have to go see as soon as it's out. This will be a day off of work movie for me for sure.
Oh yeah. It is indeed the only Marvel movie that I actually have a hard copy of. So
really?
Yeah. So that's saying something. So yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and sit back on this last part because I'm not going to be able to get a word
in buddy.
Anyway.
That's so I will it right that there.
The last portion of our show for today is, as I'm sure by now our people could probably already guess, it's another set of character posters where,
yes.
Surprise, surprise, ladies and gentlemen, we are ending on Black Panther movie posters. So I will
round of applause.
Turn the podcast over to my friend, and allow him to handle this part because this is all him.
Oh, man. Round of applause for T'Challa and the crew coming through with just peak excellence, peak black excellence. I love it. Oh, man. So we got character posters for almost every character in this film. I mean, we got Claw pictures, we got Black Panther pictures, we got Killmonger pictures, we got Shuri. Ah, just everybody down the line, and these character posters look amazing. Like, I'm trying to figure out how I can cop these so I could just hang them around the house.
You can have a suit made of them and wear them around.
I'm saying, like, oh, like the inside lining of a sports jacket. What? I'm telling you, that's a game changer right there. Marvel, do it. I'll buy it. And then on top of that, we got these Funko Pops. Pictures of the Funko Pops for Black Panther that'll be released in January. I need to let y'all know I'm buying each and every last one of them.
I did find a link for you. Yes. By the way, like we were talking offline, I did find one. I'm going to send it to you Facebook.
Awesome. So I'm getting every last one of them. Like, this is not a game. Like, there's special edition ones. I'm getting those too. It's going down. And I'm sure we'll have a contest, you know, coming closer to February for you to get your own as well. So stay tuned for that. And just a little friendly reminder, we still have the Thor Ragnarok contest going on right now. So you guys, you know, just let us know on the original post of the review for Thor Ragnarok where you heard the song Lonely Man, which is the Hulk walking away music.
That Hulk walking away music. And yeah. I think I figured out where it was.
Oh, so we got the answer. We just need to know if you know the answer.
And I almost said it, so I'm glad you reminded me that was the answer to the question.
Yeah, don't tell them. Don't tell them. So just reply.
Pretty sure I figured it out. I can't wait to see it.
So just put a comment down at the bottom of our review on the original podcast, that original post that we have on the boss's desk. It has to be there. And if you're the first person to answer the right question, you get your choice of those list of that plethora of Thor Ragnarok pops. You just pick one and we'll get it out to you. So, yeah, there you go. You know what I'm saying? So we end on a high note after all the turmoil that in confusion that is DC. And then hearing all of this Hollywood scandal, we ended with Deadpool and Black Panther. We bring positivity to you. Every day.
Can't get much better than that as an ending for those, so that's for sure.
It cannot get any better than that. You know what I'm saying? Just a little reminder, folks, you know, we're still trying to kick off this questions from the boss fam section. So, you know, just send us your questions. You can either tweet us at the boss's desk or send us an email at questions@thebossesdesk.com. You know, if we pick your question, we'll answer it on a future podcast and you'll get to, you know, see us, you know, discuss a note that you put up for us. So, you know, get involved, you know, give us your questions and put them on those two avenues, you know. But that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk. You know, if you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook under the Boss's Desk. We're on Twitter at the Boss's Desk. We're on at YouTube, on the Boss's Desk. We house some of our podcasts there, and we'll do some future stuff there. Eventually, maybe showcasing some movie theaters and our experiences, or post movie reviews, just short little blurbs. And then you can also catch us on iTunes and on Google Play. This is where our podcasts are housed, so you can hit us up and subscribe and just follow us and get these updated podcasts as we release them, man. And, you know, we look forward to getting all you people on board and listening to us and participating in these contests. We have some fun times out here, man. You know what I'm saying? So just give us a listen, and we'll catch you guys next week, man. So that's it for us here, and we're out.
See ya.